In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today our Gospel places before us the parables of the tower builder and the king preparing for war. These parables are there really to assist and to inspire the very severe words that precede them. Words that have shocked and repelled and even stood frozen the most strong gutted of Christians throughout the centuries. Unless you hate mother and father and sister and brother and wife and children, even yourself, you cannot be my disciple. And we know such hyperbole is not meant to be taken literally. And those that do take such words literally that are not meant to be taken literally in our own religion and in others, we have a word for that today. Radicalism. And when we do that, we often take the very words of faith and we behave in the very opposite of what they intend us to do. We know for a fact that Jesus did affirm family ties. He blessed children and believed in them. He taught us to call God our Father. And one of the last acts of love he did on the cross was to tend to his earthly mother, giving her into the arms, the protection of the beloved disciple, John. So we know if the words are not to be taken literally, they are to be taken seriously. And if we believe St. Paul's words to the young Timothy, in the second letter of Timothy, that all Scripture, not just the sweet and easy passages, but all Scripture has something to say to our souls, even this. So what might it say, these difficult words? I believe that first and foremost, it helps to look at the context. Context always makes the difference. Have you ever met someone you just didn't like? But when you finally discover the context, correct the story of their life, you thought differently, you judged differently. The context of these tough words is quite meaningful. Remember, it says at the beginning, as large crowds were following Jesus. And where was Jesus in his life? At the end, he was walking the last path to Jerusalem to die. It was getting serious. It was about to get dark. And all these crowds were following him. And it's only natural. People then were no different than today. Many of them were what we would call hangers-on. They've seen the miracles. They were there for sensationalism of it all. They've seen the multiplication of food. And one thing about Jesus, he never invited people. He never invited people under false pretenses. He never lied. And so from time to time, he had to turn around and he said, wait a minute, it's not necessarily what you think. There's a cost to this. There's a responsibility. There are requirements. This is serious. And every time he did it, many would fall off. And I think today was the most severe of any of his words, it's obviously. I think if we need an image for this, a visual, we need to only see the story of the rich young ruler. Beautiful story about a young man loving God. He comes to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says that Jesus loved him and gave him an invitation. He only gave to 12 of the people. He said, come and follow me, but first, and this is specifically for this man's needs. He said, go with all that you have and give to the poor, because the man is weighted down with many possessions. And sadly, the story goes that the young man walked away grieving. And remember, you can't grieve if you don't love. He loved you. He loved God, but he couldn't do it. And Jesus grieved for him. But notice that Jesus did not run after him, chase him, and compromise the faith. As painful as it was, Jesus had to let him go. He will not invite us under false pretenses. So that was the context of the day when Jesus spoke it. And then in the early church often loved this passage. It would surprise us. They felt close to it. Why? Because many of the early church were under persecution. Not just death and martyrdom, some did that. But persecution of that if they decided to be a Christian, they could not promote in their vocation. Their children would not have opportunities. Those were sacrifices and prices sometimes as painful as martyrdom. But they made the decision for that sacrifice. And they had camaraderie. They felt affection for the story, but they gave them company and understanding in their plight. And many Christians throughout the centuries to this very day in various parts of the world who literally have to sacrifice to be a Christian feel a kinship for this parent, for this passage. So that is some of the context. But it is to say this, that yes, there is a price. Yes, there is a responsibility for discipleship. But the cost is not a means in and of itself. What Jesus says to his disciples over and over again, that there is reward so amazing, so great, and I'm not talking just about heaven after we die. Yes, there's that. But we need to think more than in a literal, linear sense. Remember, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That we are promised a life and a purpose and a meaning that goes beyond understanding now. And so if it takes sacrifice to stand up against racism and evil and hatred in this world for the sake of Christ, so be it. For so great is the reward. The image of this that I love is the image, one of my favorites, the image of a fish swimming in the element of water. In the element of water, a fish swims and free to live and to thrive and to have the fishiness. And it swims in the water and happy, but the fish is taken out of the element for which it was made. It hurts. It suffers. Eventually it dies. Human beings are made in the image of God, and our element is the element of service and love of Jesus. And when we swim in it, cost what will, come what it may, life, that purpose and meaning, no matter what our circumstances may be. And that can never be explained. It can only be given by the love of God. It can only be experienced. But it is there. And what our passage says today is, yes, there's a cost, and we should take it seriously. But nothing can be compared to the reward that follows. Now, I come to the point of the sermon. Notice in the parable of the tower builder and the king preparing for war, both involve of the same thing. Both people had to sit down and think. They had to sit down first and just consider. Part of what it is to be a Christian, part of what it is to be converted, to be a disciple of Jesus, is to sit down and think and take tests, and to take to mind the things that are required. I will tell you the most beautiful conversion story I've ever heard in my life. Often when we hear about conversion stories, either people coming to faith or renewing their faith, they're dramatic. St. Paul was knocked off a horse and heard the voice of Jesus, and we love the dramatic ones, but the most beautiful I've ever witnessed, as I was a young priest in my first parish, a man named Jim came to see me. And that's his real name. I didn't change it because he would not want me to change it. He was 72 years old, and he said, "Father, I've been nominated for so all my life. I've raised a family. I've done well. But I've fought a lot. And I've decided to dedicate what years I have left for a more committed life in Christ. I'm going to join this church. And I'm going to do all that I can to live the rest of my years for Jesus Christ." I almost didn't take him seriously. He hadn't even visited the church yet. I thought it might be a flash in the pan. No. That man had sat down like the tower builder, the king. He made a decision to follow Jesus. And he came and he lived below his means financially. He gave to the service of the church. He became an usher. He was beloved for many years. In his late 90s, he died, and the church was packed at his funeral. But he had decided to follow Jesus. And his conversion was simply to sit down and contemplate that decision. I grew up with a song in the South. Many of you might know it. But it encapsulates the theme of these parables. You know, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." Jim didn't turn back. And those who have made the decision to follow their Jesus and give their lives to God have never turned back. And great is their reward. Let us take time, maybe today or this week, to sit down and contemplate the decision to follow Jesus. Amen.